How important is a product-specific coach, or do you have a coach in general?
Coach in general, but like my
coach. Your guy.
Sure. So I know that's where I want to go with my business, and that's where he wants to go with his business, so that aligns. We're both generalists within, like, if you're most of the time, like, you have general things in business, but also a specialty. But I'd say very important, because they're just going to know so many other nuances within that specific part of the industry that a generalist wouldn't know. Like, the nuances are so important. Like, with a different industries that I'm working in, maybe like heating and air, maybe like trucking, maybe real estate, like all those are very different. And if you're just selling the concept of gifts, like, I can sell the same concept to all those, but I need to know things about the heating and air industry. I need to know things about the real estate industry.
So you met with a guy this week that is a high operator in a multiple millions of dollars of revenue HVAC company. Mm-hmm. What was, I hate to say the word pitch, but what was the, how are you educating that HVAC operator on how to give gifts in HVAC?
My first question is just, are you currently doing anything to appreciate your clients or employees?
Those words are so good. Say that again.
Are you currently doing anything to appreciate your clients or employees?
Okay. Did you learn that phrase from someone, or is that something you've picked up? Because that's not normal.
That might be more of just me, but we always, like in Cutco, we always ask that question. So when I say in Cutco, more of the group that specializes in business gifts, that's always a question. For me, I don't want to pitch anything. Like, I never want to be like, pitch.
Sure.
Okay. Like, I want to know everything about what you're doing, to, because maybe it doesn't make sense. Like, I don't want to waste my breath in his time pitching to him if maybe it doesn't make sense.
So are you currently doing anything to appreciate your clients?
Right. So
then what?
So, right, if they are, it's, hey, awesome. Like, you're already ahead of a lot of companies. What are you doing? Then when company or when a business might start telling me about stuff, most of the time it's the same things. It's gift cards, it's Yeti cups, it's coolers, it's things, fruit basket, like things that are either consumed or put on a shelf. Like, I will listen to all that, and then I'm like, hey, by the way, like, that's awesome that you're taking time to love on your people. But I won't say people don't appreciate it. Like, people certainly appreciate all that stuff, right? I mean, at the end of the day, if I handed you $100, you'd appreciate it.
Sure.
But 5 years from now, you probably won't remember that.
Mm.
And more importantly, 5 years from now, nobody will be talking about you on a random Tuesday because you gave them a $100 bill. Right. What comes into play with Cutco, I'll ask them, you know, if they're familiar with Cutco or not. If they are, then super easy. I just pull up, I either have a gift on hand that's engraved or have it on my iPad. Like, if they're already familiar, I say, so you know Cutco, right? Yeah, of course. Okay, awesome. So it's everybody's favorite knife. So we let you engrave your favorite knife. So every time somebody takes it out, they just think of you. Instead of them consuming it and it being gone in 6 months, they're going to have it for the next 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And what's really cool about it, we're in the South. Like, everybody eats. Everybody goes to baby showers. Everybody goes to tailgates. And so these go places that you just can't.
Sure.
And that way, on a random Saturday, a random Tuesday, it's kind of hard for people to vocalize, like, without feeling, like, awkward about giving you referrals sometimes, or like sharing about your business. But when people are cooking together, it's very nonchalant. It's very easy. Why is there an engraving? Like, why is this your favorite knife? And people can be like, yeah, this is my realtor. This is my HVAC guy. This is what he does for me. This is why I love him. And it's very easy for people to love on you and brag on you.
That's so good. That's really, really good. Objections. Let's go to objections. So you get, you're selling an expensive product.
Yes.
You're selling an expensive investment, I should say. Tell me about some of these top objections. What's the number one objection you get with these knives?
It depends on where I am. If I'm at an event, the number one objection is I'm going to walk around and think about it. So that obviously, so maybe not obviously, but that just means there's something else.
Sure.
That doesn't mean that you need to walk around and think about it. That means there's something that's uncomfortable that I haven't done a good enough job sharing yet, or something that they
haven't broken it down.
Right, exactly. Maybe I'm on the wrong, like, knife set. Maybe I'm, like, in the wrong price range. Like, whatever it is, they're not really comfortable with it. So that's the main objection I get, like, at an event. Price, yeah, I get a lot. I wouldn't even necessarily say a lot. I get sometimes.
Price.
But yeah, like that's really expensive. Most of the time that's, I'd say even at this point, I don't get that as much. In the beginning, I got it more because it's a value thing. Like if someone sees the value in something, the price isn't as big of a deal.
Correct.
But if they don't see the value in it, obviously it's going to be really, really expensive.
Yeah.
So even still, obviously, you know, I still get a price objection, but just I normally circle back around and find out, you know, if that's something that's really important to them or not. But
let's go back to day to day. When it comes to winning the day, what does that look like? What's a win? What are wins? Because I think that what happens is, too, is I had a horrible day. Well, did you have a horrible day or did you have a horrible 15-minute conversation? Like the other day, I'm going to give you a breakdown. About once every 18 months, we have a nightmare of a client. Everybody's got
them. Okay, yeah.
Everybody's got them. I don't care if you're in church, you're in sales, you're in food, you're in financials. Everybody's got a train wreck of a client. And it just happens. I know I've probably been a train wreck to some people, but I had one of those. But overall, I had a great day. But I had a 40-minute conversation that was just brutal. But I had a great day. So what does a winning day look like for you in the sales business world?
Making connections, like at the most base level, making connections with businesses and business owners that I need to make connections with. Maybe that's closed deals, maybe not. Like in the B2B world, business to business, like things just don't. Like business to consumer, like I can sell you knives, like I get paid, like that's very quick and transactional. But in the business to business world, it takes a little longer. Like if I'm making a connection or moving a conversation forward, and what I mean by that is I talk with business. Business says, hey, these are the next steps we need to do in order to move forward. Like me setting up, okay, that next interaction with me in business, what is that going to look like?
Right.
And always leaving them with a next piece. If I just leave it open-ended, then for them it's just left open-ended and like, are we going to do anything or not? Or like if I'm not leaving something open-ended, it's, hey, do we need to meet with this person and see what they think about it? If so, when do we want to meet with them? And let's go ahead and get that on the calendar.
One of the things that I've always heard is book a meeting from a meeting. So try to always have a meeting from the meeting that you're in, so that you can, because I mean, people just won't respond, not because they don't like you, but because of
it's not top of mind.
Yeah.
Especially with gifting. Like, gifting is no business owner's thing. Like, it's their business.
Sure.
And it's never going to be the most important thing until it's like December 20th and they need Christmas gifts. So for me, like, it is my job to help keep that top of mind.
I sent a message to, and we haven't used you before, and I probably will use you this year. I sent a message to one of our people that helps with that this week and said, hey, start thinking of Christmas. Just because it can be a pretty big deal, and it keeps those clients coming back to you, not only because you do a good job, but also they're thinking of that. How many individual appointments do you want a week?
Appointments can happen in different ways. So sharpen it. I also, like, I'm a service rep, so like I believe, so Cutco, if people don't know, it's free sharpening and free replacements on damages. I love providing the service. I love being able to be someone who gets to deliver on the promise.
Yeah.
And so if it's local here in Birmingham, most of the time I'm going to someone's business or to someone's house to sharpen their knives. And
I did not know you could do that.
Yep.
I'm bringing mine.
Yeah. I got you, man.
Dude, that's so good.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I had to ship them off, and that's a pain in the neck.
Yep. Okay. No, I mean, I've definitely told you before, but who knows if you were listening or not.
No, I probably wasn't. It's really good. I'm glad you called me out on that.
Yeah, man, for sure. But so yeah, as far as appointments a week, sometimes those are appointments, sometimes meeting with businesses is appointments. And so like between all of that stuff, like 10 a week.
10 a week is good.
Right, is like a good baseline.
You just sold me $500 of knives.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ask for a referral there, or do you ask for a referral when you deliver?
Me personally, I ask when I'm there.
Okay.
I think there's a wrong way.
Just swiped my card. You got my money.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me for the referral. Here's my credit card. Great, great, great. Whatever. Go.
I do it different ways depending on our interaction. So if I've just sharpened your knives, I'm going to say like, hey, Thomas, kind of like you were thinking, most people think you can only send Cutco back to the factory. Nobody wants to be without their knives for a month at a time. Right, yeah. Same way for you. You didn't even know we could do this, okay? Most Cutco owners are the same way. They don't know until somebody like me meets them. And so really the only way is that if we're introduced. And so that's really the only way that they can get the service. And so when you think of who else you know that has Cutco,
yeah,
who are the first people that come to mind? And I have like a 1 through 10 written out, and we'll just give you this, give you a 1 to 10 written out.
And so I've got to write down 10 names?
Yeah, if you are thinking of people that have Cutco.
Got it.
That's something that a lot of times helps people. Some people don't like that.
That would be weird for me. I would have a hard time with that. Give me another referral ask.
Throughout the whole interaction with someone, like I'm feeling these things out.
Yeah,
so like,
I get that.
Right. So like I know kind of how people might respond. Mm-hmm. And so like with some people that like some ladies, like they have like a network of like all the friends in the neighborhood, and like they go walking with people and they're like, oh yeah, like, you know, my friend here, my friend
Susie,
here, we
Jennifer,
play tennis together.
Kim.
And they're like, boom, boom, boom. Like that's the type of person I would do that with. The type of person like you, like that's a business owner that like thinks more in that way. I would just say like, who else comes to mind when you think about like businesses that
that's
should
good.
Appreciate? And I say who else comes to mind, not who else do you know? Because people are going to come to mind, and like it's that person's decision like to share or not, you know? Like who do you know? Well, I don't know anybody. Like that's easy just to say, but who first comes to mind? There's always someone that comes to mind. That's why I ask it that way specifically.
I love that. Okay. I say the beginning. Let's go back to the first year, 18 months.
Okay.
What would you do more of in building this business?
Listen to people that were in the business already and not try to do things my own way.
Really?
Yeah. So
stick to the system.
Yeah. And in the beginning, it was just like, I'm going to do this. And, you know, I think I can do it this way. And this feels weird. So I'm going to do it this way instead of just, okay, this is a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to try it. And
it's good.
We're going to
have the same conversation this morning.
Yep.
I mean, the same conversation.
So just dive. What I would do more of, dive more into the discomfort. Discomfort doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, it just means it's new. And, you know, I can make my decision from there if I like it or not, but at least see if what everybody says works before I go trying to blaze my own path in something I know nothing about, because for some reason I know better, which is just not accurate.
That's so good. I'm writing this down, sorry.
No, you're good.
What would you do less of?
What would I do less of? That's a good question. I mean, obviously, easy answer is just like wasting time, like time that you tell yourself you're going to spend on something, but you like get on social media. In the business, I don't know. I think it's all valuable. I think I just would have started sooner. That's hard to answer. What would I do less of?
Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, less. I would have done kind of like I answered, just less doing things my way, because like in Cutco, like people can buy, you know, whatever they want. I don't think sales is like convincing people to buy things that they don't want.
No.
At all. Like I think it's just helping people feel comfortable with the things they do want, but
yeah,
might just be nervous about the money. What I thought of sales just wasn't correct in the beginning. Like I was just originally just very transactional with people, didn't really understand that concept of helping people get what they want and trying to find solutions around, okay, well, like if this is what we want, then maybe how can we build you here if you can't, you know, start off getting this all at once.
Got it.
Like I had the mindset of like, it's all or nothing. Like either you want this and you get it, or you don't want anything and you can't get it. And like, it just was a bad mindset. So what would I do less of? I guess change my mindset to where I just think more accurately about what my role is in the process.
So when it comes to sales, it's a very sticky business because you're commission only. If you don't sell, you don't make any money.
It's true.
Same with real estate agents, same with, you know, people that are 1099.
It's true.
Cash flow management. Some months you make a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
Some months you may not make hardly any money. How do you manage the cash flow in general lifestyle?
What I love about this and what makes me love being a business owner is that if I want to work, I go out and work. And like if cash flow is low, I just book more appointments. And most of the time it comes back around.
It does.
Personally, like, to really answer your question, like, I just don't, like, spend more than I should. Yeah. Like, it just in general, like, my phase of life right now is not a, like, ball out, you know, buy expensive things phase. Like, I'm in a very building phase. Like, I'm young. And so I'm trying to spend as little as I can on things that are not, like, making me money, like, things outside of my business. With my business, I'm fine to dump money into because I know that I'm going to grow and I'm going to make more money because of it. Right. But for things just for me, I'd say outside of things, food, like I believe the food that I put into my body is extremely important. And so like, I'm not going to cheap out and buy crappy like food. Bologna and bread to eat every meal. Like, you know, I'm going
to
buy,
you're going to make enough to eat good.
I'm going to buy good quality food. So that's one thing I would say I don't necessarily live below my means that much with, but for the,
that's fair.
For the most part, you know, besides that I'm living below my means.
Do you spend any money on marketing?
Yes.
What does that look like for you?
So I have monthly email marketing that I do and occasional text marketing that I do. And so my client base right now is about like 1,500 people that I'm at least sending something monthly to them to say, I'm still here. Like, if you, not even, this is not in my marketing, but just for the point of, if you need service, if you need a gift, if you need something for yourself, like,
we've got a new knife.
I'm not, sure, that too. But like, I haven't, I'm not left. Like, still I'm still with thing. Cutco. Yes. That's people good. Need to know that I'm still here. But also, like, if they, like, if they're keeping up with the emails, like, they can see what events I'm working.
Mm.
They can see when I'm doing service, if they want their knives sharpened, and they can see any like new type of products. So like the number two guy in Cutco ever basically started a company that's a CRM, and him and his wife handle that for a lot of Cutco people. Beautiful email marketing, beautiful pictures, beautiful messages, and that's what I pay for. And then the texting service, I text most of the time for my events and for my sale promotions.
How would you coach a 22-year-old getting in the business today?
I do coach a couple of them.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. So good question. But I tell them reps are king. I mean, it's like anything, you know, in a sport, you're not going to get good at it unless you take countless reps.
Yeah.
And that doesn't only mean when you're sitting face to face with client, like that's gotta mean in the same way as a sport, that's gotta mean when you're by yourself, when nobody else is watching. You know, we were talking about objections. Like if you give me an objection and you immediately see me like deflate, if you see my body posture change, if you see my eyes, like, you know, that's gonna tell you that, you know, you're in this for the wrong reasons. Mm. Like you're in this transactionally. I expect objections at this point. Like they're coming.
Yeah.
Like they're going, like most sales that I make, there's always an objection and that's fine. Like I said, it just means we're not on the right option. Like, but that only comes being comfortable in that. We call it the pocket, like being comfortable in the pocket,
nice.
Which is, yeah.
See what you did there.
Yeah. Being comfortable in the pocket when like there's pressure around you.
Speaking my language.
Yeah. We're speaking your language. There's pressure around you. Like you could, like this could end. They could tell you no. Like, are you cool still? Like, are you cool under the pressure? And that comes from reps, both real time and by yourself. So I tell them repetitions is the king. And then just working on like our skill set, like as far as, you know, what are we really talking about our product? Like, right. Are we saying just generic things, or do we have personal stories that we're telling about this? Do we have client testimonials that we can draw from? If not, like, here are mine. Like,
yeah, use these.
Right, use mine. Like, you know, you'll get them the more you go through this. So be okay with being bad.
Yeah,
like
at least to start.
Right, be okay with not succeeding in everything. Really, there's no failure in business in general unless you quit. Either you get better or you succeed, and getting better is still succeeding.
Sure.
So that's kind of how
that's good.
I coach my young
people. All right, before we close, I got some this or that questions. I don't know if you've ever done these before.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to say two things, and you tell me the first thing that pops into your mind. Ready? Referrals first or cold outreach first?
Referrals.
In-home demo or Zoom demo?
In-home.
Morning prospecting or evening prospecting?
Morning.
Phone call opener or text DM opener?
If it's warm, text DM.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. One call close or two-step close with follow-up?
Two-step close with follow-up.
Trade show booths or private referral events?
That's tough. I have to go trade show booths.
Why?
It's going to be... And that's the more tough reps. Thing. Yeah, it's more reps. Yeah. Like you get way, like you're gonna get better. You're gonna the money might be about the same. Like, you know, you might have less transactions but bigger potential, and it's probably gonna be more the 2-step close. That's why I answered that way with that one, because most of the time you're working on something big, like business wants to order 100 gifts for something. Mm. That's most of the time. If it's something to that nature, not close on the spot. Right. Sometimes it is. And you can still meet those people at most of the people I meet at those are still at trade shows. Sure. So you kind of capture both at trade shows. But
assumptive close, meaning, hey, cash your card, mm-hmm. or options close. You want package A or package B?
Depends on the situation. Most time, options.
Options, got it.
Yeah.
Price discount or value-added bonus items?
Value-added bonus items.
Every time.
Every time.
Value-added consultation or scarcity-driven hard close?
Value-added consultation.
Value-added consultation. Yeah. Awesome. If someone wants to find you, buy stuff from you. So let me do the pitch for you, okay? Gifts. If you're wanting to buy gifts for your clients and you're a business owner, or you're a GP and you're trying to buy investor gifts for LPs, if you have people that do business with you, these are great gifts. Okay, I've got them. I buy them myself. I even bought one the last time I had lunch with the guy just because I wanted to. So if you're buying gifts for your clients, you cannot go wrong with these things. If you want to buy some of these from Devin, here's what you're doing. You're supporting a 27-year-old absolute stone cold killer hustler, which is awesome. And then also, too, you're going to have a person that you can go back to when you need help and service. So if someone wants to find you, what's the best way for them to find you?
Easiest way is probably just my phone number, 334-544-9758. There's a personal website. It's a lot. It's mycutcorep.com/Devin Gillum.
Yeah, we got to buy another domain.
Yeah.
Go to the GoDaddy and guess, let's go find something.
Yeah. I did do that recently. Knives by Devin. KnivesByDevin@cutco.com.
Okay. That's your email?
Email would be at gmail.com. KnivesByDevin.
We got to work on this.
This is
we got to work on this.
It's very recent, very recent. Like within the past couple of days.
Okay. Knives by Devin.
So, but yeah, phone number 334-544-9758.
What about? Are you on any kind of socials or anything like that?
Nah, Facebook.
But not for business.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I use Facebook for business. Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Hey, thanks for joining me.
You can cut this out too. There is, if you want to, there's something that I want to give you though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What we got? We got a gift. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Leave it in here. Yeah. It's probably the knife that I bought last week.
It's actually a couple of things.
Awesome.
A couple of things. So in our conversation, we talked about a couple of things. We talked about Giftology. Uh-huh. I don't know if you know like the story behind the guy that
I don't.
It.
Okay. I don't. I love the book.
His name's John Rulin. He is like the most salt of the earth gold man ever, like created an incredible business. Died very suddenly of a heart attack a couple of months ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like in January.
Oh my gosh.
Like kids, wife, all the things.
Yeah.
Like was a very healthy guy. It's a very sad story. He was in the process of writing another book. It was called Beyond Giftology. So I have that I wanted to give to you.
This is so incredible.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
I didn't even know this was out.
Yep.
So I've talked about this before, but Giftology is a wonderful book. We talked about it on this episode, but this is incredible.
Yep.
So good. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And then we also talked, you're doing a lot of meats and you bought a meat knife from me.
Yep.
So you need a fork that's
going yes.
to go along with
all
it.
All the Cutco things. But, this is awesome.
But yeah, man.
Perfect.
Just some, and this too.
Gifting at its highest level. This is awesome.
I have looked up to you for a long time
that you
probably haven't known, but like since I met you, just a ton of incredible qualities that I see in my dad a lot.
Awesome.
That is
a
big deal.
He's a ball coach too.
Right. But just someone that is genuinely interested and passionate with what other people are passionate about. Like, you may or may not care about knives at all. I would have no clue. But like you made me feel like it was extremely important. And so it's something that I've looked up to, as well as just the businesses that you've built. And so thank you for having me on. And that's a small gift of just appreciation.
You did great. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
All right. That's it.